I hadn't thought of this before, but Bill and I always shared a joke together for many years. It was actually Jack Hayford told the joke, and I've been telling it for about 20 years or more. But apparently, and this is a true story, and I, being a pastor, I believe this probably is true, just as I'm going to tell you. But you want me to tell you?
Yeah.
All right, I'll tell you the joke. And so this church has lots of struggles, right? There's really struggles, and there's tension, and there's division in the church. And one side blaming the other side, and just real schism and problems in the church. And so on this one morning, one of the men on this of the opposing side of this church argument, he stood up and he prophesied against the other side. He stood up and he said, "Yea, yea, the Lord is speaking to you, you stiff-necked, hard-necked people. The Lord will not bless you unless you repent. I, the Lord, are calling you to repentance. And if you do not repent, yea, I, the Lord, say to you, I will write Michelob across the door of this church." And with that, he turned around and he walked out. And everybody's standing there, Michelob. Michelob. A few minutes later, he came back in, and he's standing at the back of the church, and his arms are tense, and his fists are tense, and his neck's bulging. And he says, "Yea, yea, the Lord meant to say Ichabod." Well, for... Now, sometimes when I hear a prophecy, it's a little off, I say, "Yay, Michelob." For you purists, Michelob is an American beer. And if you know your Bible, you know that God said, "If you don't, I will write Ichabod." You know, it's too bad you have to explain something. Anyway, whenever I think of Bill, I think of that joke, because we used to laugh for a long time over that. The key to a God-controlled life. That's the message today. The key to a God-controlled life. I told Cam earlier in the week, I said, you know, I'm not sure what to call it. I don't know whether to call this the key to knowing God. That'd be okay. But I think the thing that was on all of our hearts, at least it is on mine, is that I want a God-controlled life. I want God to control my life right from now until I feel his arms around me in heaven. I want every day to be close to God and to draw others close to him as well. And I was thinking that if there were some basic things that you want to see in your own life, right? What are the basic values for us? Where is the bottom line? Say, this is what I will define my life by, these four things. So I've called these the four absolutes of your life. And I hope that you can say, "Count me in, God. I want this to be part of my life." Number one is honesty. That I'll always be honest. There won't be swarmy things in my life. And I won't go through life carrying a whole bag of secrets. You know, so afraid that anybody get close to me in case they find out about the secrets. And so I think honesty, you know, honest with yourself, honest with God, honest with others. Honest in your department. You don't cut corners. You share it like it is, in love and care. But you're just an honest person. You know, Christians are not usually known to be honest. That's just the truth. They say, you know, how many people we've met say, "I've done business with a Christian," and he said he was really cutthroat on that and really wrong, you know, dishonest in that. And I thought, oh, may that never be said, right? Maybe we'll be able to say that's one of the absolutes for us is honesty. There's a second one, and that is purity. That there will be nothing in my life and in your life that people say, "What in the world's going on in there?" You know, that we'll be careful to walk in purity, pure hearts, pure hands, pure life, right? Not a prissy life, not some kind of Victorian thing, but our honest to goodness purity that... we don't flirt. We don't do this or that or get involved in sexual things. We're careful about it, knowing that we could be involved. But having purity as a foundation, that whatever else it will be, there'll be no hanky-panky going on in your life. There's going to be nothing weird or strange or odd. You're not on the verge of having an affair, or if you are, you're being called to repentance this morning. Right? So meaning that so there's just about your life, it's pure. There's something honest, something not only honest, but something pure about your life. Purity is a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful, amazing thing. See, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be, as I continue to age, you know, you kind of think that's going to not ever be a problem. Listen, there's only one thing worse than a young guy with problems. It's an old guy with problems, right? In those key areas of your life. I do not want to be a dirty old man in any point of my life. So number one, honesty. Number two, purity. Number three, unselfishness. That we would be thinking more of others than ourselves. That we'd go out of our way to do kind things and helpful things. And whether it's a birthday card or whether it's just to say hello to somebody, it doesn't matter what it is, but it's just that you were thinking of them rather than you. And that, again, is these are foundational things in our life of honesty, of purity, and of unselfishness. In other words, we are determined with all of our hearts, I mean, it has to be a thing of the Spirit, I'm aware of that, but we would determine in our hearts that we would be like Jesus and live like Jesus. That's what I'm challenging this morning, to my own heart first, but to your heart as well, that you would have a life of unselfishness, that would be basically known as an ever-increasing, because it's maybe you're in a selfish stage right now, but there's no reason why I can't say, Lord, I don't want to be like this. I want to be like you. I want people to think, you know, he's kind of like Jesus. That the honesty, the purity, the unselfishness, and lastly, for the fourth absolute, the absolute of love, is that the law of love is that I would love God, and I would love God's people, and I would love those that even speak evil of me, that I would love them. And somehow that has to be. So these things are not negotiable. They're not up for discussion. Honesty, purity, unselfishness, and love. That's the foundation for your Christian life. If you're going to be like Jesus. If you're going to live like Jesus and act like Jesus and walk like Jesus. So, the real secret of our lives, it's not a habit, although habits are involved. I could tell you a lot about your habits. You could tell a lot about me by my habits. But the real secret is not a habit or a routine. You know, I say, well, I meditate this, or I do that, or I read verses, which is probably all good. But the real essence of it is a personal fellowship with Almighty God and a complete surrender to Him. I'm going to read that again. That the real secret of our lives is a personal fellowship with Almighty God and complete surrender to Him. And I'll define that a little bit here in just a moment. See, to surrender our lives to the Lord and to dedicate ourselves to doing His will, doing His work, that God's will for us, we understand it, is only revealed to us step by step. That we just know that, is that I'm seeking God's will in my life. I want to be in it today. I want to be in it tomorrow. I want to be in it the next day. I want to be tracking after Him, following hard after Him, walking with Him, having Him walk with me. But that's only revealed step by step. That's why this isn't a zap, right? You can't zap people. You can call people forward, but there's not necessarily going to be a zap there. You have to just walk with the Lord step by step, believing that as I surrender to Him and as I act on the obedience to Him, that God will reveal His will to me. So He reveals more, and this is the truth. You can go places with this, that He reveals more as we obey what we know. So today, Lord, I just want to obey with you. It's not what I believe. It's what I do that matters. And so, Lord, reveal more and more as I obey. In other words, God's not going to give you more insight about anything if you haven't obeyed the last thing He gave you. You're kidding yourself if you think God's going to give you something new. You didn't obey the last thing He told you. Why would He answer this thing? Right? So as God speaks to us about that, we just believe that He reveals more as we obey what we know. So this thing of loving Him and this thing of following Him and walking hard after Him is a very beautiful and powerful thing. So here's the question. How do we ever increasing, because nothing in this world will be perfect, right? These are in some ways their ideals, and nobody here has attained fully in everything. But ever increasingly, how do we be God-controlled? That's a good term, isn't it? God-controlled in our thoughts, in our judgments, in our actions, in our words, in our behaviors, in our attitudes? How do we increasingly become more God-controlled? In other words, I want to be like Jesus. And I want that to process to begin even here today. I trust it's already started, but I want it to want more and more. Well, I'm suggesting there's just two simple keys. I don't think this is complicated. And by the way, I thought about this week because I had a scripture on my mind from John chapter 4, verse 34. Well, maybe we can just turn there and get ready. If you have a Bible with you, just turn there, John 4 and verse 34. I'll read in just a moment. But my thought was this. If I was to sit down with somebody and they were new at this thing, right? They'd invited Jesus into their heart. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were baptized in water, but they were just kind of new at all this. If I could spend time with them, what would I talk about? This is a new follower of Jesus, I suppose I'm speaking of. What would I talk about? Would I talk about personal devotions? I might. Would I talk about worship? Yeah, I might. I think I would talk about these two things that I'm going to mention. Because to me, it's the very heart and essence of everything. There's lots of stuff you could tell a new Christian, right? You say, make sure you come to church, make sure you fellowship, right? There's all kinds of things you would say. But what is the bottom line? Is it not, number one, absolute surrender? We're not just saying invite Jesus into your heart, which is the starting point. We're saying he has to take over. It's not just that you've added Jesus now because you accepted him as your Lord and Savior and that you're going to fall into, you know, go to church and have devotion, all that stuff. But absolute surrender to the will of God as revealed in Jesus Christ. So John chapter 4, verse 34. Has anyone brought him something to eat? And Jesus said to them, my food, think of that, your sustenance, everything you're eating and chewing on. My food is to do the will of him who sent me to accomplish his work. I want to do his will. I want to accomplish his work. Oh, that's a key. Lord, I'm yielded to you that I be fully surrendered. That my first love would be fellowship with you. That all of my honor that I might receive in this world, my pleasures, my strength of personality, any physical powers that one might have, any mental powers somebody would have, treasures, pleasures, ambitions, desires, name it. That we say, God, all that I know about me, I surrender to all that I know about you. If new information comes, I'll process it. But meanwhile, I want you to know that all I know about me, I've just given over to you. Pleasures, treasures, desires, wishes, thoughts, everything. God, I'm making this the number one thing. I lay these down. Desire for this. Thought about that, wanting this. Lord, I lay it down. I lay it down in absolute surrender to you. See, that is the starting point. And it's funny how I would say they're very seldom is that ever brought up when Christians talk to another new Christian. I don't know why that is, but it just is true. To say, I'm going to talk about absolute surrender. What? Well, I got baptized. No, we didn't say about it. Lots of people get baptized who aren't absolutely surrendered. But as much as you know, I'd like to speak about that. I want to talk about that. Absolute surrender. So with our whole hearts, we seek to follow our master and our Lord. And we have these four absolutes as a foundation. But with our whole heart, we seek to follow our master and Lord with an intensity and with a devotion so that people can both see the reality and the power of true religion. That's what it means. That the intensity of my life and the persuasion of my life and And the devotion of my life is so yielded over that everybody who knows me will know that that's my first love. And everybody who knows you would say, Jesus is their first love. And so much so that people say, that, my friends, is true religion. Fully surrendered to the Lord, as much as one knows. I don't think we can be fully surrendered in perfection, but we can certainly be absolutely surrendered as much as we know. And if there's some new thing that God taps you on the shoulder about, you say, thank you, God, for talking to me about that. I didn't include that, but now I bring that to you too. Now, someone says, well, how do you know if you're fully surrendered? Well, I don't know how you know, because I don't know if I am here today, but all I know is I want to be. I want to be fully surrendered. That's my heart's desire. And I want to be that tomorrow and the next day and the next year, right till the end of my life. I want to be fully surrendered, knowing that Jesus saved me, not just to give me eternal life, not just to take my sins away, not just to be with me and comfort me and to guide me and direct me, but that I would belong to him in totality. He saved me to make me him, to make me his. And I must be wholly his, totally his. Right? That'd be a good, probably is a t-shirt. And whenever I think there should be a t-shirt, there is. I just said, I didn't get there first. But you're like, his. What? Just his. His what? Well, you can fill in the blank, but it would be a good conversation. The reality and power, when something is pure and genuine, it really has an impact. Right? We have no desire to be religious. Right? So when we're talking about being fully surrendered, we're talking about those absolutes. Those four absolutes. We're not talking about that you don't do this and you don't do that, you don't do this and you used to pray that and you don't know. We're talking something far greater than that, of a fully surrendered life. And that God would take charge of that, meaning that I'm responsible for the desire. God has to take over the performance. Right? So I'm saying to God this morning, God, I want to be fully surrendered, absolutely surrendered to you, so that I'd be able to say, my meat is to do the will of God, to accomplish his work. Wow. Such a big thing. What a great umbrella to live under, right? Isn't it? It's a powerful thing. So my opinions, I got lots of them. Funny how the older you get, the more opinions you get. It's kind of freaky in a way. How many I'll have before I'm done with this thing. But that's why they must be surrendered. You have to surrender your opinions, because your opinions will get in the way of growth, and it does in all of our lives. So my opinions, my preferences, my tastes, and my will, I yield to you, my Master and Lord, as much as I know here today. Lord Jesus, I absolutely surrender myself to you and your will for my life and all that I know about me, everything that I know. I yield to all that I know about you. And so that this whole thought of absolute surrender would be often on our lips, not occasionally. We would make the foundation is this complete surrender is a huge thing to us. And we would say, is so-and-so, as much as we know, are they fully surrendered? Say, I don't know if they are. But that's their desire. Right? Remember, nobody's ever pulled this off except by those that yielded to the Spirit. It can't be perfection. It's not as if you're not going to see some perfect people. Well, you see some people that are all facing the same direction. We have one desire, to be absolutely surrendered. And it's pretty radical for us. And it ought to be so impacting, as I said a few moments ago, that the reality and the power of people say, that's true religion. Somebody completely sold out to Jesus, who wants to think like Jesus, talk like Jesus, walk like Jesus, live like Jesus, do everything that reminds of the Lord. That's what we live for. So that's key number one. That my will is to do, my meat is to do the will of God. That's the first thing. Key number two, absolute and complete obedience to the will of God as expressed in Jesus. And one word stands out from all the others in Scripture as the key to knowing God, as the key to having a God-controlled life, right? Oh, by the way, let me just pause and say this. I don't know what years it would have been, probably back in the early 80s. God had spoken to me about this thing surrendering my heart to him and going further than I've ever gone before. And that was actually how it came to me. I was praying one morning. I think I might have even told Val about this at that time. But I said, I felt the Lord was saying to me that, Owen, do you want to go further than you've ever gone before? And I eagerly said, yeah, that'd be good. I was to go beyond where I, yeah, to go further than ever. I had no idea kind of what that would mean until later. And then some things in my life and situations say, wow, that wasn't expecting that. But I know that it was necessary because I had felt that I had gone all there was. See, I said, well, I'm born again. I've asked Jesus into my heart. I'm a child of God. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I've been baptized in the Spirit, Jesus, and I speak in tongues every day, and I'm faithful to things of the Lord. Yeah, where else would we go? And I just found the Lord saying, you haven't got a clue. You don't even, you are so out of the game here. You think that's the end of their journey? You check off these things, you know, saved, water baptized, Holy Spirit filled, speaking in tongues. Oh, yeah. He said, that you haven't begun to know the depths of who I am and to have me live in you and through you. So key number two, absolute and complete obedience to the will of God. And this word that sticks out, it's the key to knowing, to having a God-controlled life. It's the key to having his peace and assurance in your heart. And that is the word obedience. 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 One thing is surrender. I love you, Jesus, and I give myself to you. And he says, that's good. Now I'm going to call you to something else. I'm going to call you. It's linked. I'm calling you to obedience. So turn with me, if you would, just to John chapter 6 and verse 38. John chapter 6 and verse 38. Again, the words of Jesus. That's what we're interested in here this morning. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Isn't that a great word? If anyone's feeling, maybe a little unsure about your salvation, whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. I came down from heaven to do my Father's will. He states it clearly, clearly, clearly. So my question is, have you stated that clearly? Have I stated that clearly? Where I said, Lord, I've been born again of the Spirit. I can't say I came down from heaven, but I've been born again of the Spirit, and I've come to do your will, just like your Son, the Lord Jesus. You see, to obey God's will was like food to our Lord. Everything, all he had one consuming desire to obey what his Father had told him. So Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 7, I can honestly tell you about this, that years ago, I would read Matthew, I think it's mentioned in a couple of places. Anyway, the story is that Jesus going into the Jordan River and a dove descends on him and a voice from heaven cries out and the voice says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And I would read that and I would wonder about that as to what that actually meant. I said, why would he say that at all? Why would he even mention, this is my beloved Son who I'm well pleased? He hadn't even started his ministry. He had not started his ministry. He's not done anything. He's come to now he's at the Jordan River and the dove is going to come on. Then ministry begins. But I thought, why would he say that? Well, Hebrews chapter 10 tells it, and it was a real revelation to me. Hebrews 10 verse 7, then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. And lights came on, and I got an understanding. The reason why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 3, when he said, this is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased, is because he had come to do his will. Hadn't even done it yet. had not died, had not been to Gethsemane, had not sacrificed for our sins at this point. The Father was pleased with him before he did one single thing, simply because Jesus wanted to do his Father's will. I've come to do your will. I have no other reason for my existence. When I've done your will, I can go home. Right? With your complete will. Whenever the complete will is, then I can go home. But meanwhile, I've come to do your will. Well, that's really clear, isn't it? Obedience to God's will is the secret of having a God-controlled life. It's the secret of spiritual knowledge and spiritual insight. See, it's not willingness to know God's will, but it's willingness to do God's will. Most of us are educated far beyond the level of our intelligence, right? Meaning we know lots. Boy, do we know lots. We know, if we put a compilation of everything we know, if Marcel would tell us everything he knew and heard and thought about in his Christian life, and we'd go down to each person, there'd be a tremendous amount of information. But have we come to do his will? Because that brings the certainty of your life. That brings the best part, where we go in deep enough. You see, the problem with almost all of us here today is that we have never gone deep enough to really get in where it's fun, where it's exciting, where it's good stuff. We go in, we dabble a little bit, just dabble our toes in it, say, yeah, that's nice. I like that. It's very nice. And we say, oh, don't splash me, don't splash me. Because I haven't been, nothing worse than you're standing by the shore and somebody starts to splash. No, don't splash me. So they conclude that that's the Christian life because they have felt the water and they know something about the water, but they haven't gone up to their ankles and up to their knees and then up to their loins and then just gone in all the way. Just enough. Matter of fact, most people have just enough religion to make them miserable. Most do. Just enough. You got a taste of it, but really it bores you silly. But to move it to that other level of obedience, that's something else. To say, I'm going all the way, Lord. I don't know where this is going to take me, but I'm going to be willing to obey what you want me to do in my life. So surrender first. He doesn't want your doing until he has your very being, where you belong to him and you have told him that, and you say, all my treasures, all my pleasures, all my honor, all my desires, everything about me, my reputation, doesn't matter. Lord, everything I want to give to you. So I think obedience is the secret of guidance. See, I want a God-led life. And so if I want that, I must be radically obedient, to the Lord. See, every Christian should live not only a God-controlled life, but a God-guided life. Can you say that this morning? Can you say, I live a God-guided life? As much as I know, I let God guide me and direct me. And if you're not guided by God, then you will be guided by something else. I promise you that. I can guarantee you that. That if you're not guided by God, you'll be guided by people, you'll be guided by trends, you'll be guided by the newspapers, you'll be guided by the internet, you'll be just guided by everything, but you won't be guided by God. Because that's just how it works. See, not to have this sense of guidance in your life is to really miss something vital. And I thought the best thing is this, that I've said yes to God, and he says, yes, walk with me. And what makes the Christian life so good, so you get into it and you're splashing around, you're diving in it, and you're having fun with it, is because you've given your heart over to the Lord, and whatever he wants is fine with you, and if it changes, he'll let you know. Meanwhile, I'm going to live flat out for the Lord, yield it to him with all of my heart, with all my desire, and to be led by God. So we take, and this is important, that we take obedience with us every day into our quiet place. That place where you have, that little spot you have, that chair, that couch, wherever it is, that bedroom, that bathroom, wherever you have that little quiet time, take obedience with you. For you'll know as much of God and only as much of God as you're willing to put into practice. Right? Because sometimes I yield things to the Lord and then I kind of take them back. And say, oh, Lord, we already had a discussion about this. I remember that old hymn, I'm not going to break into song here, but when I walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, to those who trust and obey. Remember, trust and obey. How's the rest of it go? To be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Did you believe that? See, if there's no other way but to be happy in Jesus, to be really happy, which brings us to the last point, that first of all, surrender, secondly, obedience, and thirdly, allowing the gift of happiness to be bestowed upon you. Because in my take on this thing, and again, I could be wrong on this, but I don't think I am. At least I sense there's a witness to this. To receive the gift of happiness, the happiest people, the people that make me thirsty, are people, as far as I can tell, are sold out to Christ. They're the happy people. They're the ones that are enjoying their lives because they've received the gift of happiness. When we have surrendered to the will of God and we've committed ourselves to absolute obedience to God's will and God's plan, we then receive the gift of happiness. And I'll just give you an example. I could click anywhere here, but I'm just going to... here's verse right here. Got a word to break in. My soul longs, 84. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy. Just sing for joy to the living God. Drop down to verse 4, 84, 4. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Blessed, happy, happy. Happy are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Keep going down. Verse 10. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. Because I have an inner happiness. Verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold for those who walk uprightly, O Lord of hosts. Blessed, happy is the one who trusts in you. You know, if I started in Psalm 1, there would be about 500 verses that said, blessed is the man who walks with the Lord. Happy is the person who puts the Lord first. Great, you know, there just goes on and on and on. It's like it's overkill to let us know that you will never outgive God. No matter what you surrender to him, he will bring back 100-fold. You can be sure of that, and you can talk to him if he doesn't. Because no one has ever served God. No one has ever surrendered completely and obeyed with all of their heart. And God says, I'm not going to work in your life. I'm not going to use you. It would just never happen. And there's a joy and a peace and a something about it that comes into our hearts. You see, it's this absolute obedience thing and this complete surrender thing. To me, I see them, they're linked and yet they're separate. But it's part of victorious living. You remember the man from Chariots of Fire? Do you remember the film? You remember Eric Little? You remember, how many of you remember that? You remember that guy? I read something about him the last couple days. He was an amazing guy. He died in a prisoner of war camp. He was the Japanese captured him and the Chinese. He was working with the Chinese, but he set records. He was a distinguished athlete. And of course, you know that da 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 da. You know that theme song that you all sing. Became a movie, but this is what he said. He was another one of those people I'd like to have supper with. The table's getting a little bigger with all these people that are gone to heaven. But he gave his all to the Lord, and he never made it back. But he was the least to worry about that. That never was a concern to him, like Oswald Chambers and like so many. So he says, in the section of this little booklet he had put together, Victorious Living, Eric wrote, victory over all the circumstances of life comes not by might nor by power, but by a practical confidence in God and by allowing his spirit to dwell in your hearts and control your actions and emotions. Here's his admonition. Learn in the days of ease and comfort to think in terms of the prayer that follows. I'll read it to you. So that when the day of hardship comes, you'll be fully prepared and equipped to meet them. Here's the prayer. What a prayer. Father, I pray that no circumstances, however bitter or however long drawn out, may cause me to break thy law, the law of love, to thee and to my neighbor. Again, think of absolutes. That I may not become resentful, have hurt feelings, hate, or become embittered by life's experiences, but that in and through all that I see, thy guiding hand, and have a heart full of gratitude for thy daily mercy, daily love, daily power, and daily presence. Help me in the days when I need it most to remember that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, that I can do all things through him who strengthens me, and that my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect is weakness, and unto him who is able to keep you from falling. See, these kind of people, folks, had relationship with God that you would give anything to have. And there's no reason why we can't, because they were just ordinary people too. Everyone you'll ever read about, you can go back to 1st century, 2nd century, 3rd century, 4th, every one of them would say the two things that matter is surrender and obedience. You can simplify it down to that. And if somebody's unclear on that, when you have that conversation with somebody, say, just talking, say, let's talk about surrender. What does that look like? Let's talk about obedience. What does that look like for you? How can we be more obedient? How can we be more surrendered? That ought to be the constant talk, right? Constant talk. We're just kind of obsessed with it, in fact, because it's so crucial to us. And that therefore we take that into the prayer closet in our times together. We say, let's pray about our surrender. Let's pray about our obedience. How, you know, never mind what your IQ is, what's your OQ? What's your obedient quotient? That's the bigger thing. And if I've somehow fooled myself that in some area of my life where I just wasn't honest or I wasn't forthright before the Lord, I just want to say, God, today I want to be that. I want to be that man that you can put your hand on and say, this man is ready to serve me. By life or by death, doesn't matter. Those things don't matter. All that matters is that we've got that part right. And it's revolutionary. Right? Because I will tell you this, that if we actually became, as a congregation of people, if we became that group of people that said, let's take this really seriously. Let's really take this. Let's not just make, yeah, that's good, another good thought, you know. But, you know, it'd be a unique church. It would be an unbelievable church. It'd be the church that say, I want to go. Why? These guys really take this stuff seriously. They really are committed to this thing called surrender. And they're really committed to this thing called obedience. They don't fool around. They're the real thing. They got they're focused, right? This is genuine. Unbelievable. God sent thing that comes to you to say, I want those two things to be true in my life. Stand, please, with me, if you would. Well, I think the Lord is going to speak to you further about this. I know the Lord's going to speak to me further about this. Why? Because even though over the years, by the way, Val and I had experienced our 41st wedding anniversary. And thank you. And I said, who's that old? Who has 41st wedding anniversaries? It can't be us. It might be somebody else. That is the Ancient of Days, I'm telling you. Wow, 41 years have gone by. But you know, we have desired to walk with the Lord and serve the Lord. You know that there's all kinds of things that God's put in his hand. He said, you want to go further? Yeah, I do. Sign me up. I want to go further. Even though, right, walking with the Lord, even there's so much more. And don't you want to finally end your life and say, wait, he was living for more. No, it's just flat out for the Lord. And no one can do that for you. You know, nobody can. That's the good news about this. It's you and Jesus working this thing out knowing that you want those four absolutes in your life, and knowing that comes through number one, surrender, and number two, obedience. So I'm repeating myself, so I'm going to quit. But that's it. I don't know of any other way. All I know, when I taste it, I like it. When I'm around people that are radically committed to the Lord. Not weird. Not weird. There's lots of that. Not strange. You know, there's lots of that too. Not odd and weird. There's just that's a knee deep in strangeness. Right? We don't need Ichabod or a Michelob. But we do need the voice of the Lord and the hand of the Lord. And I'm going to pray this morning as we close. I'm going to pray that the Lord is going to put you, if he's not already on that, on a fast track, on a route, that you could say, on the 24th of June, I ask God to take my hand and to lead me further. Don't be afraid of anything, because this, whatever you do with him will be 1,000 times better than whatever you do on your own. The will God has for you is a good will. So you say, it's a good will, right? It's a good will. Oh, about the will, I'm not sure about the will. It's a good will. It can't be anything else but good, because it comes from God. Every good gift comes from above. So because I cannot feel a fear of committing, in case there's certain things, I don't know what, maybe God, I don't know. What am I kidding myself? As if my route was better, my plan was better? No, his will be best. And we trust him for that. So let's pray. Lord, I again thank you for that old hymn. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. I pray, Lord, that we'll mull over this long and hard. I pray, Lord, that we will go over even again the absolutes of our faith, of what it means to be like Jesus. And I pray, God, that we'll be very serious about this topic. May it always be one of our themes, that maybe even the theme, that we love you and surrender to you. And our meat is to do the will of him who sent us. Take away any fear from anybody here this morning that says, "Whoa, I'm kind of scared about the unknown." Lord, just deliver them from fear and give them a great anticipation and excitement that the journey ahead will be the best that they've ever been on. And we thank you. We thank you, Lord. Here's my hand, God. Here's my hand. Make this real to us today. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. Lord, knowing you, loving you, serving you. Oh, God, this is wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for this journey we're on. We bless you. It's the time of our lives. Lord, it's the best of the best. Because we know that you are, this is your will. And just as you came to do your Father's will, we have come to do your will, Jesus. Our Master, our Lord. Every bit within us, as much as we know here, we lay on the altar of the Lord. And we thank you. May it be evident to all that this is pure religion. People completely dedicated to the love of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming this morning. And we hope that you will be, amen. Praise the Lord. We will, we'll meet you on the patio. And I don't think we need to pray about this. I think we've captured it this morning. So please join us on the patio for some fellowship.